As Reverend Park has already said, it's a joy for us to have our dear brother, Mr. Noel Shields, with us tonight to come and to give a personal word of testimony. Brother, you're welcome in the Saviour's name. The Lord bless you as you come to minister to us.
Well, we thank our brother for the warm words of welcome. And it's a great joy to be down here in Ballymoney. And we trust indeed that the Lord will bless what I'm going to say. I'm going to give a word of testimony, personal testimony, of how the Lord found me and saved me and changed me dramatically all those years ago. Now, we're going to turn in God's Word to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel and the chapter 15. I'm going to read just a few verses, very familiar passage. It's one I base my testimony on. So I'll be interwinding the passage and then my testimony. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's have a little word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you we can come and to share a testimony of saving grace and how the Lord sought me and saved me. And Lord, I pray for any tonight in this service who doesn't know Christ, that thou will draw them to the Lord Jesus, that they'll come to this fountain that's filled with blood, and Lord, be washed whiter than the snow. We ask for help now. We look to thee, Lord. We lean upon our beloved for help. In Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar passage is brought here before us. We find in verse 1 about all the publicans and sinners came to hear Christ. What a picture that must have been to see the crowd coming out to sit around the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they were gathered around the feet of Christ, he wanted to impress a great lesson upon their hearts. That's why he spoke to them about the sun in the far country. That's why he spoke to them about the silver coin in the home, about the sheep and the flock. Because there was one lesson the Lord Jesus wanted to impress upon their hearts. And it was this, that they were lost. They were lost. They were sitting in the presence of Jesus Christ. They were listening to his words, but they were lost. And there may be people here tonight in this meeting, and you're enjoying the hymn singing, and you're maybe going to hope, I trust, enjoy the testimony and the word of God. But you're lost, and you're far away from God. The Lord tells us here in this parable of the sheep, that one of the sheep was lost. The shepherd counting his sheep at the end of the day, 97, 98, 99, and he says, well, one of my sheep is lost. Oh, it was the sheep's own fault. It was disobedient, it had wandered far away from the shepherd, away from the fold, it now put itself into danger. And so the sheep was lost. That's a very simple truth here in God's word. Lost. There was a time in my life I was lost. I was not brought up in a Christian home. I hear people standing up to give their testimony and tell about being brought up in a Christian home and taught the word of God and going to Sunday school and different things. But I was not brought up in a Christian home at all. Completely different. It was 10 in our family. And believe it or not, I'm actually the Ba of the family. There's 10 in our family. I had a dad who used to drink a lot. And I saw how difficult it was for Mom in those days to try to bring up the home. I remember as a young lad saying to Mom, you know, when I grow up, I'll never drink. I'll never go to the pub. I want nothing to do with that life, even just as a wee lad. I hated the smell of it and everything that it did to anybody. I didn't like it. And though it was not a Christian home, we were sent to Sunday school. We belonged to the local Church of Ireland church. So we're sent off to the Sunday school. And I can say, being in the Sunday school, I never really heard the gospel. And I'm not saying there's nobody preached the gospel. I never heard it because I wasn't interested. That's just the way it was. It was just a done thing to go to Sunday school in the Church of Ireland. I used to go to children's meetings as well. CEF held children's meetings then on. Again, I never heard the gospel. We went in for a bit of crack. We went in with a pea shooters and a thing of barley in our pocket and to carry on and all the rest of it. It was a night's fun to see and misbehave. And so I went, this was already the religious background that I had really in my young life. One thing that really did impress me about the things of God in my young life was going to a disco. I'm sure there's some people here can remember the Bay City Rollers, where you had the trousers halfway up your leg. See some smiling faces, some people the same age as myself. And you got the tartan scarf on, the shirt and all the rest of it. So the wee Glenon tartan gang going up in to Market Hill to a mission, or to not a mission, to a disco. And there was this boy standing outside it. He was no Bay City Roller fan. He was all dickied up. And he was standing giving out these invitations to a Christian coffee bar, they called it a Market Hill. So we all gathered around him, said, "What are you doing?" "Oh," he says, "I'm giving out these invitations to a coffee bar." "Ah, come on in to the disco. Sure, it's going to be good fun. Why do you not come into a disco with us?" And all the cheek and all the rest of it. But you know, that's what I said outwardly, and others would have said things to him. But you see, that night my heart was hit. I said to myself, what a brave fellow that is. He's standing by the side of a road for Jesus Christ, and there's just a whole gang of us. He's a brave fella. And I want to tell you here tonight, I never forgot the fellow standing by the side of a road. I went to my discos and all the rest of it. And I remember later on being in the bars, you hear a bit more about that in a moment or two. People are running down religion. And I actually said to the boys, told them a story I just told you about the fellow standing for Jesus Christ alone. And I said to the boys in the bar, he's a better man than the whole lot of us put together. I never forgot the fellow standing for Christ. I remember that fellow went home that night and says, "Oh, I'm giving up. I'm never going to do that again." A little does he know, it made such an impression on me in my early days. Now, that was the type of my home in that time. The thing I loved in life, I loved football. I was football crazy and football mad. I can't understand why I was never spotted. I always thought maybe somebody would be looking out a scout. I'm only joking. And they would spot me. I'd love to play for Manchester United. I was a nutcase. My room was like a shrine with pictures and scarves and mirrors. Later on, when I grew up at a car, you saw me coming up the road, Man United on the front of her. When you came into my motor car, badges and everything all over it, my jacket, but I was a Manchester United nutcase. And I love football, and I played football for different teams as well. Now, one thing that happened to me, one great thing happened to me when I was 16, was I left school. Now, I'm not really falling out with any school teachers here. Just after conducting a mission in a school there, finished this afternoon, we're filing. But I never liked school. And I couldn't wait till the day came that I would leave school. Of course, that day came. Now you're 16, what do you think? I've arrived. I've left school. The school bag is through into the corner. I had just been confirmed maybe a year or so before that. And when I got confirmed, you had to go back for communion. It was goodbye church, goodbye Sunday school, and goodbye God. I'd finished now with Sunday school. I'd finished now with school. I thought I had arrived. I thought now that I was big. Where do you think I started to go to? I started to go to the pub. I scared to go to the very place. I said to my mom, you know, when I grow up, I'm never going to drink. And the devil, you see, he's very subtly, he get you into the bar very subtly. So I went into the bar just one night a week, and it was just one pint of beer and shandy. Some people would might know what that is. So I just stood a wee skinny fella, 16, one pint, and played pool all night. Before I knew it, it was 2 pints and 3 pints. Before I knew it, the lemonade was taken out of it, and then it was on to vodka. And I remember being so drunk one night at the age of 17, laying in the snow in the street of Market Hill. And here's a fella says, Mom, you know, when I grow up, I'll never drink. I'll never go to the pub. And there I was, a young fella, 16, 17, now standing beside my dad in the bars drinking in Newtown Hamilton. I came home one night. It was a sort of late, and my mum ran out to the car to meet me. I says, what's wrong, Mum? She says, your dad has taken ill. And what had happened was, my dad had went to the bar in Newtown Hamilton. I'm from Glenan, near Market Hill. And when he's in the bar, he took a stroke. But they thought he was only sleeping through drink. And so at the end of the night, they tried to waken him, but he never woke. And so we all rushed to the hospital. I was on a Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday. I was on Friday night, home on Friday night, and my other family were on with my dad. He was unconscious. He wasn't speaking. On Saturday morning, Mom came running up the stairs. And I knew she was going to tell me that Dad was dead. He was 54 years old. Just 54. But here's a young man that now at 17, my dad was gone. Big, strong man at 6'4". You thought, well, Noel, did you think about God at this time? Did you think about Christ? Did you think about your soul? No, I didn't. No, I would get to carry out a drink. I remember one time and go, at that particular time and going to a house and drinking away. And I took my father to the grave at 17 years old with the rest of my family. So I started then, that was me on the drink, and I started to go to the bars. That was just our lifestyle, the way I was brought up in our home, of course. And then with my mates in the village, we went to the bars. Instead of drinking one night a week, I could have been in the pub maybe 4 to 5 nights a week drinking. That was just our lifestyle. And my life was then consistent. I played in a pipe band. There's some good pipe bands around the community. I played in Bestwood Crimson Hour pipe band. We played in competitions around Northern Ireland and in Scotland. I played for football teams. I went to discos and dances and pubs and clubs and you name it, that type of lifestyle. But I used to stop. I used to stop in my life, and I said to myself, there's something missing in my life. There's something wrong. And I don't know what it is, but there's something not right. And I would do a wee count in my life. I thought, well, I've got an old banger of a car. I was working. I was playing football for teams. Maybe had a girlfriend at bars and pipe band. I said, there's something missing in my life. And I don't know what it is. I didn't know I was lost. That was the problem. I didn't know it. I didn't know that my sin had taken me so far away from God that I was lost. I didn't know it. I pretended to be happy. I pretended to be happy in the bars and clubs and all, but at the end of the night and the next morning, you're miserable. You're miserable. Maybe there's some here tonight in this meeting, and you're in the pubs and clubs and all the rest of it, and maybe it's good at the time, but the next day you're miserable. Well, that was me. Sin doesn't satisfy. No, it doesn't. All the hangovers with drink and all the rest of it went along with such a lifestyle. I was lost. I was far away from God. And then the bars, like I said, I could have been in 4 or 5 nights drinking. If we had any money in our pocket, my mates and I, we went to town. And that was just the way it was. But I was far away from God. Maybe you're here tonight in this meeting, and you're far away from God. Remember, the Bible says all, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Maybe you've never taken a drink in your life, but listen, you're lost. Maybe you've went to this church most of your life, but if you're unconverted, you're lost. And you're far away from Christ. And so, I was lost. The sheep was lost. We find here in this passage we read together that the shepherd went looking for the sheep. Isn't that remarkable? He could have sent someone else. He could have sent a servant or somebody else. One of the sheep is lost. Go and look for it. Not a bit of it. It tells us here he went looking for it personally. He went patiently. There he is, searching, looking over the hills, the valleys, the ditches. He's searching, he's looking for the sheep that was lost. You see, he loved the sheep. He went to seek it. I'm glad the Lord Jesus came looking for me. I tell you, I was from a little village in Glenan, just outside Market Hill, between Bestbrook and Newton Hammond, a wee village sitting in there. And the gospel mission came to my village in 1983. Now, I did not do meetings, church, for I seldom went to church at all. Never went to gospel missions, as far as I know. I didn't do these things. A mission came to my village. And who do you think was doing it? The Free Presbyterians. Well, boys, I hated the Free Presbyterians. I didn't like them at all. Never in their church, by the way. Never heard them preach or anything. But, boys, I didn't like them. Didn't like Dr. Paisley or any of them. I would go stone mad and shout and roar. My sister went to the Free Church in Mullet Glass. She wasn't saved. And I used to visit her. And we used to end up arguing and fighting about the Free Presbyterian Church and all the rest. And I knew nothing about the Bible. But as I see now today, I was blinded. Well, they were coming to my village to do a mission. I was down visiting my sister, and she says, maybe I'll go to a mission. I want to tell you, I have more notion of going to the moon. I didn't do meetings. That was not my life at all. I was in the bars and clubs and football and pipe bands and all the rest, that lifestyle. The mission came to my village, and I'll not take time, but God brought me in. I would have been one of the last people you'd have thought in that village. They've been that meeting. I can say that. And the Lord broke my heart and broke all my earthly plans and all I felt constrained just to go to that mission, to get into that mission. And I came home from work and I got the suit out. I think I had a suit anyway in those days. And I got myself dolled up and I phoned my mate and I says to him, do you fancy going to this meeting? There's a meeting over in the corner. I said, well, take a run over, see it or not. He says, I'll go with you. Now, he was like myself. He drunk a bit out. The two of us did. And the two of us went into this meeting. And we walked into it. And I sat down. Boys, I says, this is different. This is different in here. The people were happy. That's one thing I can know. They were happy. I was as miserable as sin. Because I found all the running and the dances, the discos, the pubs and all could not satisfy. The people were happy. They were singing with all of their heart. And I was really touched by this. And then this big man got up to give his testimony. And I'm going to tell you his name. It was Joe Peden. And Joe told me, he told me that news came into the prayer meeting down below. He told me since that, two big wild fellas in from the village tonight. I happened to be one of them. My mate was the other one. And this man, Joe Peden, got up and gave his testimony. Now, if you've heard my testimony, you've heard Joe Peden's. I never met Joe in my life. And this man, Joe Peden, got up and he told how he hated school. Mon, he says, that's just me. That's me. I could tick that box all right. And then he told how he loved football. That was me. I was playing football for teams at that time. Then he told how he drank and racked about. Pooh, that was me as well. 4 or 5 nights a week. My mate and I was in the bars. Then he told how his father died. And he watched his father die. And I says, well, so have I. And then Joe Peden told how the Lord saved them. And I want to tell you, friends, if somebody switched a light on in my head, I said, I found the answer. I found the answer. It's Jesus Christ. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I didn't know. I got my eyes open that night. Because if there was a heaven, not that I didn't deny God, that there was a God or heaven, hell, I thought I wasn't a bad fellow, even though I swore to heaven and drunk like a fish. I thought, well, if there's heaven, I'll go, I'll be all right. That's how blinded I was in sin. But I learned that night that I was going to hell. That sobered me up big time. That I was lost and my sin was taking me down to hell. And but Jesus Christ loved me, and he could save me, and he gave me everlasting life, and he could give me a new life. And I listened. What I heard, I found the answer. And I didn't get saved that night. Me and my mate went out. We threw off the short and tie. We weren't going to market hill dressed like us here. We went on the old jeans and t-shirt and into the bar. We went to town to the bar. But you see, next night, I was back to the mission again. I want to hear more of this. And the next night, I went, I believe, every night of that mission until the end. And I say a lot of the nights I came out of it and got into the motor car and drove to Market Hill and sat at the bar and just thinking what I had just heard. I had heard the answer. And that mission came to an end, and they were singing, of course, "Just As I Am," without one plea. And I really felt God speaking to me to come to Jesus Christ. And the devil says, "Listen, you couldn't keep it. You couldn't live the life. Look at your life. Look at how you drink and how you swear and all the rest of it. You couldn't keep it." And I shook hands. The Reverend Alec Chambers was the minister that time. And the Reverend Edgar was doing the mission that time. And I walked out. I didn't get saved. But I found the answer. Another great thing happened to me in 83 was this. I met my wife, Joan. I didn't know she was going to be my wife when I met her. I must confess that I didn't met her. But I met her in 1983. So I would go to an odd meeting, an odd time. And the Lord was searching for me. I would go to the bars. And I really felt constricted about the call of God in my heart. And I would go outside. Nobody knew it, of course. In the bar with my girlfriend, Joan, and all my mates. And I would go outside, and I would say, "Lord, I'm not saved, and I'm not ready to meet thee." And I would go to see Northern Ireland play in Windsor Park. And I used to think, "Lord, if you come back, I'm not ready." And what was really happening to me was this. The Lord was searching for me. He was calling me. I was playing football. I was going to discos and dances and work. And I felt I must come to Christ. He was searching. He was searching for me. In 1984, Joe and I was planning to get engaged at the end of that year. I did a job. I used to drive a crane for a firm. I did a job for a fella in Portadown. It was about the 11th night. And I put a machine in for him. I was packing up the crane. And I was sitting up in the crane, I guess, here. Packing her up, and the boy came to the window and he put his hand up, I guess, and he gave me a pound tip. I says, "Thanks very much. That'll get me a pint tonight. It's the 11th of July. I'm going to get tuned up for the 12th. He took a step away and he came back. He says, "Did you say that's going to get you a pint?" I says, "You did." "Well, here's a Christian." And boys, he started to preach to me up through the window. And I looked out at him. I says, "What do you think of Paisley?" I said to him, "Man, I got the whole thing off myself. That's just the way it was." He looked at me, know what he said? "You're coming back to do another job in September." He says, "I hope you're saved." So sure enough, I had to go back and did another job for this man in September. He gave me another pound at the end of a job, but I didn't say anything. I didn't have to. He started to tell me about the love of Jesus Christ, how the Lord loved me. How I could save him. I said, "No, David." He called him David. "I know, that's true." A car came up a drive and this man got out with a collar on, and he was a minister. And there's me jammed between these two fellows, and they were preaching away to me. But I want to tell you this. I loved everything they were saying. I never fought against it. I looked at them, I says, "You know, it's true. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior." And David said, "Noel, there's something holding you back." Well, there's a number of things. How could I keep this? I used to drink a lot at this time. And then Joan and I was going to get engaged at Christmas. And the devil says, "Well, if you get engaged, you know what's going to happen. You're going to lose her." And that man looked at me. You know what he said to me? "I'm going to ask you the most important question in your life." The question is found in the Bible. Pilate asked it to the crowd. He says, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And he looked at me, and he said, "Noel, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You're either going to accept him or reject him." And my heart was pierced. I didn't tell him. The word of God's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I was wounded badly. And I get up into the crane, and the man says to me, "Noel, I'm going to pray for you that the Lord saves you." And I went up the road home with that question burning in my heart. What then shall I do with Jesus? Which is called Christ. That's black and white, isn't it? That's it, friends. It's either sin or Christ, heaven or hell. I say to you tonight in this meeting, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to accept him as your Savior or reject him? Well, I went up home that night. I could hardly sleep. I went to see Joan maybe that night. I just mentioned briefly about getting saved. I didn't do church, and Joan would go occasionally to her own church. It was just mentioned casually. But I was under real conviction of sin. No matter where I went, the Lord was calling me. I look back now and see that. That I was lost and far away from God. And the devil fought against me. You couldn't keep it, and you lose Joan. And maybe there's someone here tonight, and the Lord is speaking to your heart. And you can identify with many things in my life. It's your life. That's the providence of God's brought you and I together. And he's calling you tonight to come to him. You know you're lost without him. You know you need Jesus Christ who died to save us. He's a mighty Savior. You need to come and trust him. He's calling you. He's calling you tonight to come to him. And so the shepherd went looking for the sheep. We find that the shepherd found the sheep. Not tremendous. He wasn't giving up on this sheep until he found it. Amazing. He wasn't giving up, friends. Despite the difficulties, the darkness, the dangers he had to go through, he was not giving up. He loved the sheep. And he searched for it until he found it. And we find here, when he found it, he lifted it up. He put it on his shoulders and went home rejoicing. And told his neighbors, rejoice with me. I found the sheep was lost. I want to tell you here tonight, I'm glad the Lord didn't give up on me. And Daddy never gave up on me. I despised his call. I still ran to the bars, drinking, swearing, all the rest of it. Joan and I got engaged to Christmas 1984, as planned. So 1985, now into January. And the night before I got saved, I was sitting in the bar in Market Hill, drinking as usual. Joan was on the bar stool beside me. I was drinking away, and this man came walking down the bar that I knew from a young lad. And he came right down the bar, and he stopped behind me, and he says, Noel. And I turned around. You know what he said? This man in the middle of the bar, he says, nobody loves me. And I knew him. He had lost his wife, his family, his home, drink, because of everything. And he says, nobody loves me. And I want to get off the bar stool and start preaching. That's what I want to do. I want to go. But I mean, I want to tell you, I used to think the same, but I heard about the love of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ loved us and bled and died for us, and he can save us. I want to get off and start preaching. Oh, but I don't do this in the bar. And so later on, I drove home. I took Joan home. One of my mates was lying blind drunk over the wall, and I got him gathered up. It was just that's the way we all were in those days. And we got him down the road home, and I like to feel the Lord saying to me, you get saved, you can help your friends. I saw things differently now. I was in the bars, and I said, we're all dancing our way and drinking our way into hell. That's what I said in the pubs. I said, we're all going down towards hell. And there we are all together, and they're laughing and smiling. But I had heard the message. I knew now things were different. And so I left this my mate home, and he crawled out of the car, and I went home and up into bed, and I tossed and turned. What am I going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And the devil says, if you get saved, you'll never keep it. If you get saved, you're going to lose Joan. That was a trump card. We just got engaged. On the 19th of January, 1985, I got a hold of the blankets, and I fired them off me. And it says, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I've had enough. I want you to save me. I didn't know how to get saved. And I'd heard it, but I wasn't sure of the right way. I over and I pulled the blinds what a fall of snow had been on the 19th of January 1985. The place was plastered in snow. I got my clothes on, went downstairs. My mother met me and she says, are you away to the pub? Or used to go to the bar maybe early on a Saturday morning to get the cure. I says no. Didn't tell her where I was going. I drove to the home of the minister at that time, Mother Glass. The Reverend Alec Chambers was the man who preached to that mission when I went in 83. And I drove through the snow, and the car actually got stuck in the snow in his drive, and I walked up through the snow, and I banged the door, and his wife came out, and he came out, and he says, he brought me into the hall, and he says, yes, what can I do for you? I says, can you show me how to be saved? Can you show me how to be saved? He says, I can. And he took me in, he opened up the Bible, and he showed me how I had sinned. And I says, that is true, I have sinned. He showed me how I was going down towards hell. And I said, yes, I believe that. He showed me about the love of Jesus Christ, and how he bled and died, and how he can save us. Do you believe? I said, yes, I believe this. And you want to get saved? I says, I do. And in his months, on the 19th of January 1985, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And he found me. And I arose a new man. And I opened up the door to go home. I thought it was a new world. And the Lord Jesus saved me. Like the shepherd here lifted the sheep. Christ lifted me. Everything was different. I had to go home. And there's another part to my testimony. You'll probably hear me some night when I come to speak at a deputation meeting, maybe sometime here. And the part two of my testimony is how I ended up in the pulpit. But just to touch on it here tonight, I went home. Immediately. I told my family what happened to me. Now, some of them thought I might be going crackers, something badly wrong with Noel. My best mate was going around the square in the snow, and I ran out and I waved them down, I guess, here. And he says, what's wrong with you? I says, I got saved this morning. He says, I'll give you 1 week. He says, I'll give you a week. He's actually saved today as well. That's 34 years now we're saved. I had to face Joan. And I thought I was going to lose Joan. I went up early. We were planning to go out for a big night on the booze that night. And I said, look at it. I want to tell you something. I got saved this morning. And we both cried. We thought that was going to be the end of everything for us. I said, I had to do it. I had to open my heart. I said, listen, I have been bad for 2 years. I have been thinking about this thing seriously. But I got saved this morning. Now, to cut it short, I thought that I was going to lose Joan. Many times you got out, I thought the car door was coming off. Because I used to put on Status Quo and ABBA and all these tapes. Now it was Victor Hutchinson and different gospel songs was going through and all the rest of it. But boy, she got out of that car some nights and I thought, oh, it ain't looking good. I'm going to lose this girl. But you know something, I met a fella who was a friend of mine. He's not saved. God used him. And I told him my story. This man was near like a second dad to me, for I lost my dad when I was 17. Told him the whole story. And he looked at me, and what he said to me, are you going to turn back for Joan? In other words, are you going to go back into the bars and clubs again for Joan? And I said, I ain't going back. I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back for anybody. Christ has saved me. He has forgiven me. And I was saved. I was nearly getting saved all over again. So I ended up that night to see Joan, and used to be this, you know yourself, all picture, no sound, you know, that sort of thing. And I, oh, you wonder what they're going to say here. But that night I went up, and that seemed to be gone. And we chatted away about things, and as a mission came to Mount Norris, just about a mile or two down the road from my village. And I got Joan to that mission in March. That mission came in March. Same men were doing it. I think it was maybe the Reverend David Smith was doing it at that time and the Reverend Chambers. And the very first night of that mission, Joan was saved. The first night of that mission. Not tremendous. The Lord heard my prayer in a few weeks after me. And he said that now we're still together after all these years. We got married in 86. And we're married a number of years now. And the Lord has blessed us. And the Lord's blessed me with 4 children. I have 6 grandchildren. And the Lord called me into a ministry. I've been preaching here, there, and under the gospel that changed my life, that changed me dramatically. See, Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than this room. Maybe there's some tonight in this meeting. And you say, I couldn't live the life. I couldn't keep it. Listen, the shepherd lifted the sheep and he carried it home. And when you get saved, he lifts you. You're in his hand and you'll never perish. And he'll bring you home. I would urge you with all my heart tonight to repent from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus. Be in time. When the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, and you find an open gate and you cry, be too late. You've got to be in time. Come and trust him tonight. Thank you very much for the opportunity of speaking. Thank you.